On a Saturday evening, about 10:30, I was seated at my desk and was meditating, praying, preparing my heart for Sunday. I had my head down on my arm at the desk, and suddenly it seemed like I was actually transmitted right out of that room. Some of you remember the incident where God seemingly took me there with the children of Israel for a month in the wilderness, and all of the beautiful things that he showed me, allowed me to see the host of heaven. And I heard the cry, "Rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered," and made an impression mark in my mind I'll never forget. Well, this was a very similar experience, except this was something in right now, in the days ahead. It wasn't going way back somewhere. It was going the other way from here. God spoke to me. Now, several people have asked me, what did he look like? And the thought never even occurred to me to look to see what he looked like. And I can't tell you, except the brightness of his glory, I was aware of that, but I couldn't tell you. And I wish I would have looked a little bit, but it wasn't even in my mind. The question never even entered my mind. But God did speak to me and said, "Come with me into the throne room where the secrets of the universe are kept." And it was just like, boom, we were there. Faith means nothing with God. So while there, I had a chance to look over God's shoulder at some things, that questions, answers in my mind that may have been there. Other things that I have seen possibly through a glass darkly were just as clear, and I see that how the pieces all fit together, what God is doing. But included with what he was showing me were some visits into homes, and without seemingly any expenditure of time at all. It was just God brought me from one place to another, one home to another, just like it's going through from one door to another. But we listened to conversations of people in their homes, and I was a little I wondered, the thought entered my mind, it seems strange to be in this room and these people actually talking, don't even seem to know that I'm here, and I can see them and so on. It just seemed like they're looking right through me, or they don't even know we're here. And the thought occurred to me on how true this is, that Christ is in homes listening. He's right there, seeing what's going on. So often we're totally unaware of the fact that he's there. There were countless numbers, innumerable numbers of angels everywhere, as far as the world is concerned, everywhere. And this building especially, just packed. The reason I mentioned Sunday morning, there's a population here that we don't see. There's attendance, greater attendance of heavenly beings than of earthly beings. Full of the angels of the Lord. And another thing that was so beautiful to me, the seeming piety that people want to apply to their lives when they think about the things of God, was totally absent. I knew there was none of it. It was, everything was on a light, happy, relaxed basis, real brightness. And I didn't feel like I was walking on eggs. Like I had to walk on eggs. I was just there. And I didn't have to think twice what I was going to say for fear I'd displease God. I mean, it was just open and beautiful, beautiful experience. But one thing that the Lord so emphasized to me was, for us to quit worrying about his responsibilities. And he actually let me see people who are trying to produce by how much they can get their mind possibly in tune with him, and thinking just exactly right, or saying the right word at the right time, or thinking the right thing in producing these things. God so emphasized to me, that's my business. Will worship me and walk with me, put your hand in mine, and I give you the privilege of moving with me. But he said, let me do my own worry about my business, about why I promised, because I'll take care of it. I haven't failed in all of this time. Not one word has failed. I did promise. It isn't about to fail now. There were some things that were so astounding. He let me know that money isn't going to have a whole lot of value, except as it's used for God, as people throw themselves into it for God. But those who will he will open the channel wide. There will be no limit to what he will bless them with through them. He also let me know that things aren't all bad here, that this earth is a wonderful place, and that the whole earth is filled with his glory. He's there. And that he let me see a continued increasing turning of people to himself, not a backing away, not a surrendering of the church, not a church heading underground, but a church triumphant. Hallelujah. Oh, I could leave here. I was excited. Praise God. One thing he did, he gave me for my help and things that pertain to me outside of his vast operation of this world and his plan for that. He showed me a paper that he had prepared that would pertain to me and to my ministry in this church and others that may be affected by the church. That paper had well over 100 events listed, the dates they would happen, the names of the people that'd be involved. Some of them people that are not even now in business, but God's going to bless because of their dedication and consecration. And others that are in business, he's going to bless tremendously because they've determined that their talent is used for him. It's a tremendous blessing. On this were the dates of some who are then passed from this life. Right, when it's going to happen. Oh, how it's going to happen, the whole thing. There were events of tremendous victory. And I looked at that. I didn't have to read it. But as I thought, it was like it was tattooed on me. Like an impress, like a printing press, without. The printing press doesn't have to read a thing to make the impression of it. It would just boom on my heart like that. God let me know that he was locking it in my heart until he was wanting to release it. I tell you everything that was on that paper, though I didn't even have time to read it. Everything. Because it's there, but I can't give you. It's because the Lord let me know it would in many cases destroy what he's trying, wanting to do, but he would let me see these things. Then I might say that two of the things have already happened, so I can tell you about them. He took me into my office and let me see a lady that had been involved in witchcraft. I could see her. He didn't tell me her name, But I saw this woman, I just as clear as day, even how she was dressed and the whole business. And he told me to bind the spirits and remove them from her and set her free. So I did. Well, on Tuesday night, she came to my office. So I bound the spirits and I set her free. God. And she told me why she had come. Now, I was a little bit staggered at first. But on Monday night, one of the things the Lord let me see was that I was standing in a place other than our own church, sharing ministry in a place of real need. I didn't see any of the congregation, but I saw people that were there in various types of spiritual and physical bondage and need. And the Lord was giving them new life, new victory. Oh, beautiful experience. All I remembered that it was the name of this place was Christian Life Center. But I could see it. That's what we call our church. But it wasn't our church. And I didn't know what to make of it. But Monday night, I received a telephone call from a pastor over in Pork Orchard, Washington. It's a little tiny place, I guess. I don't know really too much about. But he said God had put it on his heart to call me and have me come and minister. He didn't know why, but he felt like he had to call me and find out. So we checked the calendar. I had my wife call back so to find that the date to see if the plane schedule could be. This will be on February 20th, 21, 22. But she almost got cold chills because I talked to her about this. And I told her that this may not be the place, but God didn't let me know everything's going to happen. This may not be the spot, but I saw myself ministering because that was Christian Center, and this little place probably certainly wouldn't be called that. But when they answered the phone, they said, Christian Life Center. She got the fact of that thrill there. But the thing, I was totally relaxed and at ease with God. I want you to know you don't have to be it. You don't have to put your best foot forward when you're with the Lord. Because He knows even what your worst foot looks like. I mean, no use putting on an act or trying to make any impression. Just be yourself on Him. Well, I was totally at ease until He came back into the room. And I saw myself with my head on my desk while I'd been praying, and I could see the back of my head. And the Lord had a lot of humor. There was laughter and joy and all. So I remarked, I said, Lord, I sure didn't know the back of my head was getting that white. I have to take a mirror and take a look. The spots that I see aren't that white, though. So. Sure enough, it was that one. But when I was seemingly with the Lord for several months, maybe longer, that all the things I saw happen could have filled a pretty good sized book, several hundred pages. But do you know there's something about the dimension of eternity that you can't quite. It's hard to identify with time. Less than 5 minutes had gone by on my watch. I wouldn't have had time to even have read that paper and digest it in that 5 minutes' time. But that's all time that elapsed. But with God, you see, with eternity, it's not run by watches or by calendars because it's not measured. Time is just for this earth. And so eternity isn't going to be a long, drawn-out thing that you have to start pulling the pages off of the calendar, measuring what time, and when all of the descriptions you hear about eternity, as I see it now, they're all totally wrong. All totally wrong. It isn't some long, boring extension of time. It isn't time at all. It's just a glorious experience of being. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why I was staggered was that when I found myself back in that square, I still had the paper that God gave me. It was there, and this startled me. Because I had some wonderful experience with God, but I have never brought anything back before. And so I didn't know what to do with it. I knew that he didn't want me to share it yet. But it startled me and it kind of unnerved me then. I was at ease till that happened. Well, I laid it on top of some other papers, on top of a file folder and with some other notes on my desk, with the thought in mind of coming back Sunday morning. And I went home. My wife wondered what was the matter with me, because I was kind of pale and quiet. And so I remembered what it was. So we talked about it. And so I thought I'd go back in the morning and look over some more. And it was, it had pruned ashes on my desk. And I didn't know what to do with the ashes. Because they had special meaning. But they were almost looked like fur rather than ashes. They were fairly light. If I ate a slice back, cause them to move very light, kind of like snowflakes, only different color. And where they were, I didn't know what to do. And the ones came in my office during the day, and they wondered what in the world I had those ashes there for. But so I told them. In fact, I had to keep somebody from wiping them off, because I thought I was a messy housekeeper there. But I didn't really know what to do with them. I didn't feel like throwing them in my waste basket. What do you do? So finally, I managed to scoop them off to one side and put them in an envelope and closed the envelope. Of course, that convinced them, so they weren't in the same consistency. But I have that envelope in there. Now, with those ashes, I don't really know what to do with it. But I do know that represented in those ashes is a calendar event that I didn't put together. I don't have a thing to do with sin that they're done. God just let me see what he's doing. And the only point I just see in my knowing, it has increased my faith, and I enjoy my experience. But I am going to be able to help and strengthen people's hands that may be involved in this without letting them know what God's about. So there we are. I was so weary about telling people about that, because I had mentioned that Wednesday night there could be a lot of people say, well, I just thought maybe he had some screws loose all along, but now I'm sure. And I thought maybe so too on Saturday night, that I couldn't, I kept wondering, have I had a hallucination here? Two of the things have happened just exactly the way God let me know they would happen. And I don't know how to account for those, for that thing from those ashes. But God wasn't it. So that's it. That's what happened. But I want you to know that things aren't half as bad on this earth. They're not as bought out of control as we think they are. God still knows what he's doing. And the number of angels is innumerable. It's an innumerable company of angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And I want you to know in that if it comes your time to leave this line, don't worry about it, because it's not a drag. And if things get bad here, don't worry about that either, because the Lord let me know that this is still a pretty good place down here. Praise God. To make the most of it. Live it for God and be happy. Use all of the beautiful things that He's put together. Because God isn't as concerned about a lot of little things that people have put their red flags on as what we are. In fact, he asks us to walk with Him and love Him, and we're not going to have to look for the crevices, the poison, and all of these other things. But He wants us to look for what He's doing, the grace of God and the glory of God that fills the whole earth. It's God. Somebody asked me, "Does it seem kind of empty coming back to this temporal things?" Doesn't, because it's all part of the same wonderful scheme. And I feel God just as close. Praise God. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I think maybe we'd look out and have a little word of prayer before we went into lesson today. I wasn't planning on giving this to her, but there may be some purpose. I mean, that God may have wanted to hear this. You may have needed for encouragement. Praise God. Poor little child. Why don't you just lift your hands and thank God. Tell Him how much you love Him. Our studies today will be on the sequel to the Throne Room Experience, a tape that was made 21 months ago. This sequel comes today, November 17, 1978, following ample time for many of the items that God had given me to unfold. And so at this time, I'm going to read just a brief introduction as a prelude to sharing some of the things that God fulfilled, and taking another look, a longer look, at the experience in the throne room. Another look at the throne room. This message comes as a sequel to the one given in January 1977, entitled My Visit to the Throne Room. Like Paul of old, the wonders and glory of that place finds no adequate description in the human language. It was nearly a week following this experience before I felt I could share it publicly. And even then, only such parts as God would release. As a result, the first message was given in halting, hesitant terms as I groped for areas I felt would not violate my sacred trust. In that message, I referred to a list of 120 things, many of them pertaining to my life and ministry. On this list were events, dates, places, and people. 20 of these were described in limited detail, including dates. Others were mere references to events to come. In this message, which comes 21 months later, there will be much more complete information. Because of the many confirmations and the release God has given, enabling me to share, some areas are still restricted. During that visit, God truly gave me a glimpse of the secrets of the universe, of matter, of energy, nature, space, all bearing the same beautiful trademark. He took me from Genesis to Revelation, giving me an overlay of truth that added a beauty and unity to the whole Bible. He allowed me to view His record and His planning books. He allowed me to see the believer standing with God and the safety and the sureness of God's defense for every person who has put his faith and trust in God. So today we go back and review some of the things, some of the items that were on this paper. Also, the truths, some of the truths that I was unable to share at that particular time on that tape. The first thing I would like to share would be the standing of believers before God. They're standing when their faith is in the blood. God pointed me to a little used portion of Scripture. It may be greatly used in a story form, but little used to show God's plan. And that is the portion of Scripture dealing with Balaam. We oftentimes think of this only as the place where the mules spoke, but it was more than that. This became a beautiful picture that God himself inserted into this part of the Bible, showing that when a believer or a people put their faith in the plan that he has given to them, they are safe. And here he described it as a covering, their faith as a covering for sin that would last from one sacrifice till the other. And he made such statements as, I have not seen iniquity in Jacob. I have not seen perverseness in Israel. He knew he could see if he came down and looked under the covering. This is a beautiful truth, and the full text and the enlargement of this is found on another tape. Back the tape when God says thanks, gives a full picture of this message that God brought so beautifully to the world. He allowed me to see God, the record books, and also his blueprint for life. I made just brief reference, but I was so staggered and awed at the time, I could not enlarge or go into this. He allowed me to see the plan with, of the Apostle Paul, where God, in his planning for his life, determining that he would be used to bring the gospel to kings and rulers and men in authority, caused him to be tutored by the great teachers of his day, finally being tutored by the greatest teacher of that time, Gamaliel. Then one of the things that was the most exciting to me and has moved people and had real meaning to them down since that time was the peek that God gave me into Abraham and Sarah's record book. And I have to refer to that this time because I feel it is so important. In looking over the record book of Abraham's life, I saw records of things that I was totally unfamiliar with. I never seen them in the book of Genesis. I saw records of such things as Abraham and Sarah's hospitality to strangers. I saw times where they watered their camels and gave them a place to stay. And they shared their food with them. And there was a real feeling for those who had less than they did. And God honored it. And it was written down in that book. But I failed to find the places where Abraham stumbled, the time that he lied to the king of Egypt, saying that his wife was his sister, trying that his faith that was weak and he staggered so that because of unbelief at God's promise that a man of his age could be a father. I didn't see that. So I did ask God, where is the other book? God said, I have no other book. I said, where is it written about Abraham's, all these failures of Abraham? God said, I have no other book, but I do not record failure. This is a beautiful hope. This was an area that I did not have on the other tape, but was one that was so beautiful in showing God's plan. Another thing that I did not have on the tape was the status of the departed loved ones. God allowed me to see loved ones who had gone on before. He allowed me to see believers who were passing from this life and to watch them come. He let me see families as they were alerted by the angel that a loved one was coming home and for them to ready themselves to meet them and welcome them. And these people, something that I was never aware of before, all of them had heavenly bodies, celestial bodies that Paul referred to. They were bodies that God had given them for that dimension. They were identifiable. They looked just exactly like they looked here, minus the care, minus the hurt, and the other problems. But these tremendous joy and excitement and happiness. Every day was a day of new expectation for them because the things of God were so real, and it was a place of continual discovery in the beautiful things of God. He let me see something that at that time was not general knowledge, but since the book Life After Life and several other books have been published. But he allowed me to see some that God, at his prerogative, had allowed to return, because there was an area between their abiding place in heaven and this earth that from which they could be brought back. And that for this reason, unbelievers who have been brought back were still in this area. Believers who have been brought back were still in this area. And God's choice, they were allowed to return because they had not reached the place of their final abode. These are some very, very interesting things, but it isn't guesswork. I saw it. It was there. I know that there are many people who would give me argument on this, but I know it's true. I saw it. Praise God. Another thing he let me see, and I believe I mentioned this on the earlier tape, was that there were those within the church that God was going to bless in a financial way. People that may not have had great finances at the time, but they were, that God was putting his work so heavily upon their heart that they would feel that it was the greatest, most important thing in the world was the using their talents to create cash flow for the things of God. And I have since taken a little peek at some giving records, which I usually don't do, but no harm done. I wanted to find out, just for my own confirmation, Lord, did you bless these people? Did they do what you said? And all of them the Lord referred to had moved from a spot of meagerness in their giving to an overwhelming. They didn't know that they were included on this. They didn't know it. I didn't tell them. But God followed them up. And this is one of the things that excites me in this, is that when God says something, we don't have to follow him around and keep reminding him and nudging him, saying, now, God, I've got to keep an eye on you, that you get make sure you do the thing. You better, you're going to make me look real bad. I could look so horrible if I would worry about that part. Or I could think that I would look bad. If God doesn't do this, I'm going to look bad. If he doesn't do this, why, my neck is way out. I'm not I'm not even sweating a lot. I thought of it a few times, and before I could really start sweating very hard, the Lord had reminded me, you tend to your business, I'll tend to mine. He reminded me of that, and I placed that on the other tape. Many times he said, you take care of your responsibility, I'll take care of mine. So if he doesn't do what he said he would do, there isn't anything I can do by. But I know he will, because I trust him and he hasn't failed. And if he doesn't do it today, he's probably got it on his schedule for tomorrow. He'll get it done. You don't need to worry about that. Another thing that was I have thought about, there were three people who were going to pass from this life. The Lord gave me the dates that they would die and the ways that they would die. I don't know why he did this, but he did. And one of them in particular that I think it was Kurt Newland, the date was there that he would be saved. I jotted it down long before I knew who he was. But he would be saved. Then on May the 30th, he would be killed on May 30th, 1977, in a plane crash. And God saved him as he said he would. God let him know he was in our service here on a Friday. The week before he died. And at noon, he said, can I sit with you at the table? He said, there's some things I just have to talk to you about. And so I sat with him there in our lunch room as we ate together. He said, I have a strange feeling that I might be going to heaven. And will you tell me everything that you can tell me about heaven? I have to bite my lip because I knew he was broken. But I didn't tell him. God told me I couldn't because of the impact that it would have on his life. But I did tell him everything about heaven. A week and 3 days later, on May the 30th, he went to be with the Lord. Just exactly like the Lord said he would do. I think of another thing that God had on this. God allowed me to actually witness it in happening, and it was also on the paper. It was a family. I won't give their names, but I know that somebody wanted to ask personally. But this family was having real problems, and the Lord allowed me to see them come into my office, and knowing the need. Well, and the date was on this particular item. When that day came, these people didn't show up. I wondered what had happened, what had gone wrong. But I decided to stay a little while anyway. And a short while after I would, my normal closing time, the telephone rang. And some people said, Pastor Buck, will you be in your office for a little while? And I said, yes, I'll be here. And you tell me who they were. So they came. And when they came to the door, I greeted them by name. And this literally shook them up a little bit. So then I asked them, I said, what brought you here? And they said, well, we've been having terrible marital problems. And we decided we'd have to go someplace to kind of take a little trip, clear our heads. And we don't know why, but we just settled on Boise. And they said, we got in here and we went down to the motel, and the telephone book was lying open. And it was lying open, so they bought where you have your ad at this counseling by appointment. Well, I knew that one of those angels had been there ahead of time and gotten it all open and also fixed things up at the desk so they'd get in the right room. But they came out then, but the lady said, well, but it's all right now. We've had such a good time. We've driven up here together, and we've gotten things all straightened out. Everything's going to be okay. go, we'd better go now. I said, no, you stay here. I said, that isn't the way it was. And I told him that God had let me see Hammond. I said, you have a gun in your purse. And you're planning on shooting your husband when you get back to that motel. He looked at her and he said, well, you bet I shoot me. And he was ring the alarm about that time. She began to take, and I said, I want you to open your purse and give me that gun. So he opened her purse then and handed me the gun. And she cried out to God. She knew that I didn't know anything about that. As much the Lord let me know. Well, he let me know about it a long time before that. So about 6 months time. So both of them fell down on their faces before God, and God washed their sins away and put them back together. I've had one letter from them since. They're going to a Nazarene church in Sacramento. Just really happy in the Lord and serving God. But it was something that the Lord let me see was going to take place. And incidentally, in this paper, he didn't tell me that he was putting down everything that would happen. He said, I just want to pick out a few things that you can see by confirmation that is really, God is really on the job. And so there were undoubtedly hundreds of things in between each of these events, but he let me see just a few to have a marker along the road. I've had people ask me, well, what about 120 when they're all done? What's going to happen then? And I just let them know that it's all planned out ahead of that, just as much as the plan on the other side, only I don't know about it. Because God has everything all staked out. Praise God. Then another thing that was on that paper was my ministry in Germany last September. And on it, as on the others, the Lord said, let me handle my own responsibility. So I did. He worked it out. Took place just the way he said it would. Also, incidentally, I wrote down 10 of things on an old envelope, put it in one day when I was thinking about it, about 3 weeks after the experience, so that I'd have it in there. And I pulled that out three months ago or so, and it was quite interesting looking at that envelope where I'd written some of these things on. In other words, the ministry of this church in Russia. I'd written after it. I wonder how in the world God's going to do this. But it was there. It was on that paper when Terry Law was here in the Up With Jesus Crusade. He had made arrangements for a meeting in Russia, but they had no means of launching it. But in this crusade, this assembly was able to provide the fund that ignited the rocket thrust, and they went in and God started something there that's going to continue on and on and on and on. Just going to keep going. Because I won't say it. You'll have to guess, and if somebody might get the tape that could do some damage here. But I will just say that people that have never had Bibles before are going to get Bibles. Now, because of what the Lord had done there. Another thing that I felt was really great, and I thank God every time I see this young man, a fellow that had sold his life out to Satan as a satanic priest, and the Lord, his name was down. The Lord let me even see him. And when he came into church, I knew him, greeted him, told him I wanted to come back in my office, and he did. And God saved him, blotted out all of the old evil that was in him, and gave him new hope, new victory. He is conducting a joint fellowship group over in Napa. Now, praise God. Named Jim Olf. Some of you, I'm sure, know who Jim Olf is. But his father was a dean of admissions, I believe it is, for the Northwest Nazarene College. But God has done this. Then another thing that was on the paper was the worldwide ministry of this church that it would reach. And God has taken care of it. These messages that have been brought to me by the angel have been, I don't think I could have arranged an organization big enough to God put to happen what's happening. God does it. He's making a worldwide outreach right from the center right here. All over the world. Hallelujah. And so we'll be sending the truths that will be put in these pamphlet forms and later into a book form. They're going to be going all over the world. Hallelujah. Because the truth are liberating truth and setting people free. So the Lord lets us know that He will. We can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. When I think of the another thing, number 112 happened at Toppenish when a great a man that had a great chain of restaurants turned his life over to the Lord, named James Andrews. And when he accepted the Lord, he was a Jew. He let me know that his life now had taken a different turn, and he immediately began thinking of ways and means that the hundreds of employees in the restaurants around across the country would have the same opportunity, because he said, surely God cares as much for them as he does for me. And that man turned his life over to the Lord. When he told me his name, I had something inside of me leap, because his name was number 112 on the list. Praise God. Then the Philippine ministry, it was also planned ahead of time. The Lord put it together. The Lord worked it out. I was careful. I got a little anxious, but he said, let me handle my own responsibilities, and he did. And even when I was there, I was kind of anxious. I thought maybe he'd get it a little bit wrong, but he assured me that by special messenger, he assured me that he had done it right. Praise God. And it proved out that he had done it right. And that story is another story in itself. How that God brought leaders to me from all three areas of need that He wanted to liberate, with spirit, soul, and body. He brought leaders that could be active in all three areas. Praise God. One of the things that He told me when He brought me back was, "I will come to you again." And He has revisited me by the means of these heavenly messengers with messages over and over and over again. There have been 8 separate times of visitation. And I know he's not through yet. I know he's going to continue, because it isn't, it's his work. It's something that he initiated. It's his prerogative. And it is no way in the world I can even ask and call for an angelic being. They don't respond. They don't listen to people. They only listen to God. But I've had a lot of people say, how in the world can you make contact? I've had people tell me that there's commanding angels that watch around their house, and they're commanding them to do this. That you're just fooling yourself. You can't command them to do one thing. If you saw something on the floor and you told them, would you pick that up for me? They said no. They take every order from God. Every order from God. So, but I know that when they speak, we are echoing word right out of God's heart. Hallelujah. Great. This is why they don't listen to objections of people when God turns them loose on people. They move them toward God, and God will not listen to the objection. This, if you don't have it, is on the tape. Good news for you and your family. My rhythm to the storm rain literally changed my life. I felt I knew God in a more real and personal way than ever before. My times of prayer were visits with Him. The Word took on a new dimension and began to live it became apparent the book experience was a big part of my life. It occupied my thought and meditation. Though I did not have the benefit of the heavenly paper since God had taken it back, every item there was burned into my mind, like a photograph. How can I mentally run over the list, wondering how God would bring them to pass? Some of the things looked like total impossibilities. On occasion, while thinking of the seemingly difficult thing, I would jot down musing together with the predicted happening and drop them in my files. Recently, for my personal enjoyment, I drew out some of these papers. In preparing for the follow-up report, I thought it might be of interest to include some of these notes. Here is one, dated February 4, 1977, just 2 weeks after this experience, and while most of the things were still in the future, it reads, "How can these things happen? Kurt Doolin's death in an airplane accident. May 30, 1977, Memorial Day. I really don't understand why. Germany. I hope God works this one out. Waiting on the Philippines. I wonder what God has in mind for ministry there. Capital Christian Center and Central Assembly joining forces to fill in gaps in our outreach for God. I just can't see it. God only knows how to make it happen. Russia. Our church in ministry there. This won't be easy. I wish I knew more about this one. I wonder how we will be involved. Why?" Another jotting that is especially significant at this time because its fulfillment, still very much a part of it, Lewis, concerns the choice of the present Pope. This paper, dated January 30, 1977, reads as follows. From the heavenly paper, confirming the things to come. God's message to me about the Pope and his reference to him on this paper is interesting. I wonder when it will happen. I wish I could remember how his name spelled. The Pope is no more important to God than the least of his saints. No more influence with him than the least of the saints. No greater privilege than those who are the most insignificant. But great in influence with man, and therefore his choice, is God's concern. As one who will play a great role in God's plan for the uniting of his fragmented body, God has chosen to fill this position a man named Carol Wojtyla of Poland. End of quotation. An interesting side note concerning the Pope was his association with the Living Sound Gospel Group and their director, Terry Law. For 3 consecutive years, beginning in 1975, this group has been invited for concerts in communist Poland, during which time the present Pope gave them great assistance. Yet, God is the will and control. As I think of the long list of events that have already been fulfilled, and let me prediction, these things that God said would fill definitely take place, I cannot help but thank him. He has kept his word. This great event which has just happened concerning the Pope brings to number 113 of these events that have been fulfilled in sequence. Three others, which I cannot discuss at this time, are in the process of being fulfilled. The question is often asked if the number of events has any special significance, and what will the completing of them mean? Actually, these 120 things are merely a minute fraction of John's unfolding plan. They are but reference points along the way, reminding us that his faithfulness in keeping his word within the unfolding plan will continue unabated, even though we may not have these markers along the way. One of the greatest truths this message brings to each of you who hear is the assurance that God has scheduled each day of your life as well. As you walk with Him, He will direct your path, and though unknown to you, will bring to pass His purpose for you, just as surely as He caused to happen the event given to me that day in the throne room.